Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Truth is Out There radio show. My name is Joe Goldner. I'm your host. I help my co-host, Scarlett. How you doing, Scarlett?
I am doing great. Staying warm.
Okay, doing great. Now, what's happening is we got a very important guest that's on the show tonight. It's very, very important. Timing couldn't be better. As everybody knows, what's going on with J6 and the commission and everything, but there's two sides to every story. And we have the communist side, which is what's going on with the fake commission and everything else. And then you got the real side for somebody that's on the ground that was there and did a documentary called Capital Punishment. Let me introduce you to the producer and a famous actor, Nick Searcy. How you doing, Nick?
Hey, how are you? Thanks for having me on.
Great, great. It is great. We're glad to have you on. And it is very important. Because right now, all these things are breaking, and there's people lying in prison with rights being violated and everything else, and the conditions are horrible and everything, but they're just being arrested for no reason at all. And there's two different sides, and since you were on the ground and you did this documentary, can you tell us, my listening audience, is exactly how you felt that day, what's going on, and everything else, because you're just like one of 2 million people, and you actually saw everything firsthand. Thank you. So can you explain that to our audience?
Well, the way the movie came about is that I was there with a friend of mine, and we just went because we wanted to be there. We felt like everybody else, and it was a very joyful, happy day. I mean, I saw people singing and praying and having fun. And then when I got home that night and I watched the news, I didn't see anything like what I'd seen on the day. And it's sort of like what the news media did is they focused on this one little sliver of vandalism and violence that they wanted everybody to think was the only thing that happened that day. And so that's why we decided we need to make this movie, because I want to talk to those people that I saw there that day that didn't do anything wrong, and that are now being harassed and persecuted and vilified by the FBI, the Department of Justice, and the Democrat Party.
And it's crazy, because I saw everything. I actually have people down there, a lot of the people that you actually interviewed. I know you was questioning people and everything from Black Lives Matter to the gay community to Hispanic, Asians, all that stuff, when you were interviewing them. There and even did Ashley Babbitt, And that's amazing because you were there and you interviewed them before the actual, before she got killed in the actual documentary. So,
we spoke with her husband. Yeah, we spoke with her husband, Aaron. We didn't actually interview Ashley because, you know, of course, she was killed on January 6th. But we had footage that other people had shot of her that day. And now, in the last week, so much has come out about the fact that of what Ashley Babbitt was actually doing right before she was shot. And she was in the room telling the people breaking the windows to stop it and trying to stop them from breaking down the doors. And then at one point, she actually slaps a guy that was trying to break the windows out of the door. So it's like, the fact that she was shot while she was trying to stop the vandalism from occurring is something that just came out last week. And more, everything that is being exposed shows that the government has been lying about this day from the beginning, that it wasn't a bunch of crazed Trump supporters, that it was a lot of people that were led into a situation that they didn't understand by people who were trying to set them up. There were FBI instigators and BLM instigators and Antifa instigators that were there that day. And the fact that they won't confront that fact and at least explain it, makes it seem all the more like the government has been in on this from the beginning.
Well, there's a lot of evidence to that. This guy Epps that was taking down all these sign stuff that was warning people to be in intensive areas. This all was set up at the beginning, and the so-called pipe bombs that was there a few days ahead of time, but both the DNC and the RNC, all in the same area. Trump they said Trump didn't offer anything. That was a lie. He offered 10,000 National Guard troops for Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi actually said no to.
The more they talk, the more they lie about it. And the reason they're lying is what we try to explain in capital punishment. You know, the reason they're lying, this is deliberate. This is not, they're not making a mistake. What they're trying to do is demonize and criminalize dissenting from the government. And they want to make sure that no outsider like Trump ever advances to the presidency ever again, because they've got their own corrupt game going. And when Trump came in, they just went, he's not one of us, and he's going to destroy everything that we built. And that's why he was attacked by people on both sides. That's why he's attacked by Liz Cheney, as well as being attacked by the Democrats.
Yeah, that's the swamp. And it's really, really, really bad situation. The Kinnison, you interviewed the Kinnison family from that. We actually got a clip. It's going to be a little off because it's not on TV because we're doing radio. But we actually got the clip for that, and you can hear the discussion.
6:02 in the morning. I was asleep. I heard something. I woke up a little disoriented. So I start hearing this voice.
The FBI, you have a special search warrant on the property.
All occupants, and they list my address, and they said, this is the FBI. We have a federal search warrant for your property. Come out with your hands up and nothing in your hands. And immediately I was just in disbelief. I was like, which one of my buddies is pulling this prank on me? But then I kind of see some light flashing, reflection. So I'm like, okay. So I ran to the front of my house and to the spare bedroom. I got shutters. I opened the shutters, and I just saw one of those huge, like, Bearcat tactical vehicles that had the battering ram, you know, mounted to the front, and it was pointed right at that window that I cracked the shutters. And I shut them as fast as I could, and I'm like, okay, this is not a joke. I ran into the next room where my daughter was sleeping. Fortunately, my wife is at work, but unfortunately, my daughter was sleeping. She was there, and I just ran in, and all I could muster to say was, you know, sweetheart, you got to wake up. Daddy has to go outside right now.
Now, that's one. We have two others, but that's one of them. And this is the FBI, which has been weaponized by Biden and I call them the communists, to actually do what normally would have been a Gestapo-style tactics on the American citizens. What did he do? Just by going there?
Yeah, well, you know, in Derek's case, he went with a group of guys, all who knew each other from church. They drove across the country because they felt called by God to go there, and they brought first aid gear with them. That's the only thing they had on them. They had read that there might be some Antifa presence there, and they thought they should go there as protectors. So what they did that day was they were in the crowd, and they were administering first aid to people that had been pepper sprayed, people that had been hit by grenades and flashbangs and smoke grenades that the police had fired into them. And all they did was help people that day. And they're being charged with entering a restricted area, which, of course, what happened to a lot of people that day is they went into an area where Ray Epps and his stooges had removed all the signs that said do not enter. And so they didn't know they were entering a restricted area. They just walked up to the Capitol from where the speech was. And Epps had removed the sign so that they would be entrapped. And the other thing that they're being accused of is conspiracy. And the basis of conspiracy is that they all called each other or texted each other and said, hey, let's go to Washington. That's the extent of their conspiracy. So the charges there that they've been leveled against them are ridiculous. And they're done intentionally to intimidate, and there's no justice involved in any of this whatsoever.
You know, it's really, really crazy on that. You know, I want to tell you, are we living in a country now that's free? I doubt it, the way this is going. And then you got the Simone Gold, and what happened to her? And we have that one. And here we go, play that for our audience.
About my actions and behavior. Somebody like me, who's not violent and has never been accused ever of anything violent, you would expect a phone call. I'm very easy to track down. In no way, shape, or form was I expecting the FBI to scare me to death and break down my door with 20 guys, a dozen guns, long, big machine guns pointed at me. It was so over the top, there's still no words to describe it.
At what point were you contacted?
By the scariest, most aggressive pounding on the door that I think I've ever heard, preceded by the door being literally broken down and busted through in a matter of 60 seconds or so, with screams of FBI, FBI.
It's not yelling. This is not like normal yelling. This is like screaming at the top of your lungs. It's like a death scream. It's so scary when it is. They're bursting in the door, and then like 6 feet from me is a big guy, FBI, guns drawn.
10 or 12 people that rushed in immediately with automatic rifles and screaming at the top of their lungs like full, you know, battle gear.
That was pretty good. It was about twice that decibel, but like that, about twice that.
Later? Okay.
But that was quite loud. Yeah. It was very, that was close.
Close to that, okay. And then what happens?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It's like giving me PTSD. Like, honestly.
Yeah.
It's like so scary. It was, and I froze. And it completely froze. And I leap up, and I just kind of stood there. And then they're like, we're going to break the door down. I'm like, hang on. And we're turning around to open the door, and they broke the door down.
And so then what? They just sort of...
Hands up, put your hands on the wall. Turn around. Really scary.
You were right there, and you turned around.
Basically right where Sarah is.
You back up against that wall. And
oh, my gosh. It's like giving me a heart attack. It's like so scary.
Now, that one, this is like, this is like Gestapo tactics. And this is happening in this country right now.
Yeah, and when you listen to Kennison and Simone Gold, and you hear about, I mean, they're driving into a small suburban neighborhood with basically armored vehicles and 20 SWAT team members. They're treating these people like they're drug dealers or violent criminals when no one in the movie has any previous criminal record whatsoever. And Simone Gold is basically a public figure. I mean, she says in the movie, you would expect them to give her a phone call and just say, we'd like to talk to you about something. There is no rational reason to come to her house with the guns and break her door down, except that they want to intimidate, they want to send a message, and they're trying to spread the word in the community. If you stand up for your rights or if you voted for Trump, this could happen to you. And it's all that insidious. The show of force is over the top to change people's behavior. It has nothing to do with justice. There's no justification for it whatsoever. These people have done nothing to warrant that kind of treatment. And yet, over and over and over again, you hear this from multiple people in the movie, that they were treated like they were Ted Kaczynski instead of just a normal person who went to Washington on January 6th because they believed the election was fraudulent.
Which we pretty well, we now believe it was because the evidence is coming out every single day now.
Yeah.
And then you got, then we got the Martinez family, and that one is really with the kid and everything else and all that and the dog. And hold on, I'm going to play that.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Well, what woke me up was a concussion grenade. Those things are really loud. Once I get into the area where the living room and the kitchen opens up, another flash thing went off on the side of my house, and I could see the silhouette of about 10, at least 10 on the side of my house. You could just see all the tactical gear and everything. When I got to the door, they called me by my Tony. Tony, it's the FBI. Open up the door. They opened up the blinds. I was like, oh. And my dog was right next to me, and he was going crazy. And I said, let me secure my dog. Hold on. I said, if you don't open the door, we're going to break in the front door. And I'm thinking, okay, if they take me away, I don't want to leave this big hole in front of my house for my family.
Right.
At that point, the back sliding glass door breaks. They come in through that. And so I'm like, okay. They mean business, and I wasn't able to grab my dog, and I opened up the front door, and he went running out. And I said, don't shoot my dog. Don't shoot my dog. He's a good dog.
How long did it take your dog to come back?
A week.
So you got woken up in the midst of all this, too.
I was confused, and my hearing was starting to come back, and it started like war.
Yeah.
Like, it was crazy. There was flashes and... the loudest bangs on the door, it was like almost shaking the house. My dad was at the door and he was about to open it. And I went to grab my dog. Before I could grab my dog, they handcuffed me.
They handcuffed you?
Yes.
And that's a little kid, you know? And what has she got to do with all this? And they probably would have shot the dog if they could.
Oh, yeah. And... I mean, yeah, exactly. Why handcuff the little girl except that you want to intimidate? You're trying to show the family that you'll do anything, basically. You'll treat them like animals. And this is the kind of, this is like what you'd expect. It's a Gestapo tactic. It's basically like overwhelming show of force, make them terrified, make them feel like they've done something horrible, when in fact they've done nothing wrong, and then, you know, pile these charges on them and ruin their lives. And another aspect of the movie, Joe, is that it's not just these the Department of Justice and the police. It's also the members of the community. These people's neighbors turned on them because of this. They see this show of force, and they start going, well, we don't want a criminal like that in our neighborhood. Because only a criminal would be treated the way the FBI is treating these people. And so they turn communities against these people as well.
We call that the Saul Alinsky style This is what, and also the Gestapo style, but this is what they do in China. This is what they do in Russia and Cuba.
Exactly.
And this has got to go. And your movie, your documentary is exposing it. And that's important. And I'm telling you, since we announced that you were on the show, we will be getting some hit back, some hits on us too. In fact, all day today, I've been being personally attacked by the ultra left for having this program on today. So this is important. And I'm telling you, this is important to have this information now because it shows the truth. And like you said, there was like, what, 2 million people there to watch President Trump and talk about, you know, the election integrity and to, and all the other stuff to unify the country in a way and get at the information. And then, of course, he gets backstabbed by the VP, Pence, so, which didn't do the, because under the Constitution, he had no business of actually allowing it to go through the certification.
Well, that's another thing about today, Joe, if I may, is that, you know, what was happening in the Capitol building at the time the Capitol was breached was exactly what the people were there who had come to Washington that day wanted to happen. They were challenging the electors of certain states, saying we needed to go back, we needed to take 10 days. That process was going forward. Everybody that was there on January 6th wanted that process to go forward. And what happened? This breach happened. They adjourned for 2 hours. Then they claimed it was the worst thing that ever happened in the history of America, and so they couldn't risk going on with the process that they were doing at the time. So, in effect, the breach stopped the process that the people who were there wanted to go forward. None of it makes any sense unless the people orchestrating the breach and trying to make people break into the Capitol wanted to stop the process before they could verify the election result.
That is true, and that's scary, but I think it was orchestrated, and we're starting to see that it was orchestrated by a lot of different people. We could go all the way up to Obama and stuff. We think this was whole thing, George Soros, Obama, BLM, Antifa, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, the whole nine yards. But, you know, and the thing is, everything that was said by Trump is now being validated as such, with Pennsylvania coming back saying that all the mail-in ballots were constitutional and basically decertified Pennsylvania. Wisconsin last week said that drop boxes were illegal and anything coming out of the drop boxes were unconstitutional. That made that state decertified. Arizona already had their situation. So you're looking at four, with Georgia on the move, four states decertifying, which automatically gives Trump the White House. And that's what they're scared of. But the thing is, the people, the regular citizen, is under attack, and the division is there. But Trump, with his rallies in Arizona and in Texas, showing that the mega movement and the America First movement is actually stronger now than it was just last year, and they can't beat that. And now things are starting to break down. And your move of getting the information out is extremely important. And that's why they tried to shut this program down, and they couldn't do it.
Well, I appreciate it, Joe. I thank you for having me on. We have definitely had pushback from a lot of, even from sources that you would think would be on our side, you know, that places like Fox News and Newsmax, afraid to run our ads, afraid to have me on the shows to talk about it.
Well, Newsmax is cut in between because they do have Huckabee on, and Huckabee had you on, and that's why I got you. That's right after I saw you on Huckabee, I went and I got you here. So that's how that works. Now, So it does, the Huckabee is good. Newsmax actually was the only channel on OAN and Right Side Broadcasting Network that showed yesterday's rally and been showing all the rallies. Fox News, forget about it. They tanked. And that's
the
key.
Yeah.
But we are coming down towards the gate because we do have another guest coming on in a few minutes. Which is also tied into this. I want to thank you for coming on, Nick. It was great. Can you tell my listeners how to find this very important movie, Capital Punishment?
Yes, we built a website for it. You can find it at capitalpunishmentthemovie.com, and that's capital with an O, capitalpunishmentthemovie.com. You can also find it at hisglory.tv. There are two websites that carry it. But at the CapitalPunishmentTheMovie.com website, you can either stream it or permanent stream, or you can buy a DVD if you'd like to have your own hard copy.
There you go. And it's an excellent, excellent documentary. And if you had the time, we will play the whole thing for you. But I'll tell you, it is very, very important. We would like you to come back onto the show again in the near future as things develop, okay?
Yeah, anytime, Joe. I'd enjoy
anytime. Okay, thank you so much for coming on, and have a great evening.
You too. Nice talking to you.
Nice talking to you. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye now. Okay, next coming up in a few minutes is Sun King Rising and John Belangelo. Now, this is very unique with John, with Sun King Rising. We came in controversy with the poem called The Snake Poem. Sun King Rising actually did the song, and we might be able to play it for you later. But he should be calling in the next couple of minutes. But anyway, I want to tell everybody has to go to Capital of Punishment. It was a great show, movie, and it needs to be seen.
Are those families that you played, are they all in jail, including the little kids?
No, they're out. They're out now, but they have lawyered up and everything else. But this is what's happening in this country.
What were they charged with? Breathing air?
Yeah, basically. But it was a setup. Remember I told you about F's?
Well, look what they did to Roger Stone. Same shtick.
This is
okay,
what the left likes to do.
Look what Janet Reno did with the little kid. Okay, same shtick.
Alien
to Solace.
This is the method of the communists. And
it's
important.
Been going on a long time. Now we see the picture.
Were you shocked when I played those scenes?
Yeah, I didn't even know. What the heck?
I had another one, but we didn't have enough time. But,
what do you need 20 people for to surround you like you're garbage? What did they do?
What he didn't say with Ashley Barber is that when she was assassinated, that's what it was.
Is that because they thought she was the one doing it?
Yeah, she was right next to
Tim. They made a mistake.
They didn't make a mistake.
They didn't make a mistake.
They didn't make a mistake.
They didn't go after the people that were really doing it. They saw her.
They killed her on purpose. And
did they know why?
Because
do we know why?
Because she's a military person with a mega hat on, and they made her an example.
Was she
military?
Yeah. Ex-military,
or she
was military?
I think she was the Navy. I'm not 100% sure.
So why isn't in the Navy investigating her?
Because right now you got communists in the White House, and then when he's gone in a few days, and it will be in a few days, you will see things turning around. Trump already said he will pardon person. So we're waiting for.
Well,
nobody's
for that. Didn't you see all the rhinos coming out? The GOP? No? And it's right. Mike Pence and McConnell and Lindsey and all of them.
Yeah, waiting for John to call in for Sun King Rising. He should be calling in any second.
Cartels have operational control of the U.S. border, and they are terrorizing the U.S.
Yeah, we know that already. And you can
according
you
to Chip Roy.
The cartel is always...
Got another one. A school teacher alleged to have been a battalion leader for ISIS.
Yes, I knew about that. Okay, our guest is on. Let me introduce. We have a nice... young gentleman by the name of John Bergero of Hunking Rising. He's Americana music. I'm going to introduce him to him now. Hello, John.
Hi, Joe. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great. Thanks for coming on. I'd like to introduce you to my co-host, Scarlett. How are you doing?
Hi, John. How are you? How are things in Texas?
Hi, Scarlett. It's an absolutely beautiful day in deep South Texas.
That's wonderful. It's 30-some-odd degrees here in the South Florida.
Yeah, you've got some unusual weather going on. We had a few cold days last week, but we're back into the 60s, high 60s today, so we were good.
Yes. Today we hit 59, 60, and then it's going back down to the upper 30s, and then post warmer the rest of the week. But let me ask you a question. What type of music? Are you Americana? And what other things that you do?
Sure. So we certainly classify Sun King Rising as Americana, but we also kind of call it kind of classic Southern rock and Southern soul. So it's a real organic kind of music that if you like the music of Muscle Shoals and Stax from the mid-70s, and also artists like Joe Cocker and Leon Russell and Dan Penn and early Elton John, kind of all around that genre, but certainly kind of penned to that retro sound of the 70s.
So you're not really country, even though you're down in the southern part of Texas.
Oh, we do a couple of things that people consider country also, but yeah, maybe country soul might be a better appellation.
Okay. Because we actually have a song called Free Will that you're doing that we got. We're going to play that for our audience so they have a feel of what you do. Hold on a second.
Great.
Human night, I'm forgetting my place. Her heart skips as I untangle her
to tell you, it really feels good. Well, can you explain how you get these type of songs, Sunrise, King Rising? How this group came together and get this type of songs?
Sure. So Sun King Rising is really the moniker that I go under, but of course I do have a band around it. So, and as you can tell, the band, we have big horn section and great backing singers and whatnot. It really takes 10 to 12 people to play a Sun King Rising set. So I'm, of course, deeply enamored of Southern culture, and I have a tradition in gospel music also. So I've written this album. The album was called, our debut album is called Delta Tales. It's on Peacock Sunrise Records. And it's kind of thematically coherent. It's all songs about the Southern tradition, all the things that are important, you know, love, loss, redemption. There's quite a few religious themes through it, although it's still a secular album, but it's just from my background. Although I actually was not born in the South. I was born in Pittsburgh, but I was born to a Southern mama. So I was basically raised in a Southern cultural tradition and learned to play piano at the age of 5 with a piano teacher who sat next to me on the bench and only let me play hymns and sing hymns in my ear. So some of it paid off, and I kind of got that gospel feel going through a lot of this music.
Because it's great, and I'll tell you, all your music is, and it's really fantastic on doing it. And
your videos.
And the videos.
Oh, thank you.
You know, it's funny. One of your, I want to tell you something. One of your songs, I don't know if I acted or not, I really don't know, but one of your songs actually got played a lot today because of Trump did something yesterday.
Written by Oscar Brown.
Oscar Brown Jr., the snake,
And I actually have it, and I'm going to play it for everybody. There you go.
Thank you.
I'll tell you, that's the thing. It's appropriate for a lot of reasons. It was being played like crazy since yesterday evening when Trump did the snake bomb again, and everybody was going after it.
Why did you choose that particular lyrics and tune?
Okay, so it's a bit of an accident. My producer, Ace Acker, decided that we need to do kind of a classic cover of a soul song and was looking for songs that were well-known but weren't huge hits. And he brought this one to me and said that this song is exactly in my vocal wheelhouse. And I had heard the original version a while ago. And I decided that, yeah, well, we wanted to do a modern version of it. And it's a great story. It's basically a parable, isn't it? It's a story that everybody can learn something from.
Right.
But, and then I saw that Trump had been, you know, reading from it after, and I hadn't known that in advance, but I do think everybody can learn something from that song, so I'm pleased to hear that anybody's taking an interest in it, and anybody can feel free to use the mechanical license on that and play it wherever they want. I have no problem with that.
I'll tell you something. With that, it tells a story of to be careful who you let in. Trump's using for immigration. I use it to try and help someone that doesn't realize that she's hanging around with the snake. And there's a bunch of others out there, that use it for different reasons. It is a moral. It tells you to be careful and who you bring in and who you see and what you do. And that's a good lesson to be learned for everybody.
I agree. When I read the lyric, I thought it was genius, and it can apply to many, many situations.
And that song goes back into like the 60s with Al Wilson, among others.
Yep. That's right. Yeah, Al Wilson, I think it's 68. It was actually a bigger hit in England than it was in the U.S.
Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden it became big, Well, yesterday, the 85,000 plus got kicked that he read it almost at the beginning of his rally down in Texas, southern part of Texas near Houston yesterday. And then today, all they'll do is the left was complaining about him reading the snake, and the people, some of the one of the writer's children were upset. But it's crazy. So when I did my podcast, I read the snake.
Are you touring in Texas, you and your band?
Currently not. We're finishing. We just finished up the recording of our second album. So we're kind of prepping for it. You have to do a lot of work to prep for the release. We're hoping to be able to tour sometime in the summer. In fact, to tell you the truth, our fan base is strongest in Europe and the UK and in Brazil for some strange reason. So we're looking at festivals and things like that. But we're thinking about doing some touring in the U.S. with a stripped-down version of the band. Maybe just I play piano and sing, maybe just me and a bass player and the drummer. We're thinking about it. But currently we're not playing live.
Okay, you actually have, so you're not going to go anywhere in this country other than what you could localize, like in Texas, or you're going to want to go into like Florida or something like that, or you're going
to
stay
we'd be happy to go, we'd be happy to go anywhere. It's just likely that in the U.S. it would be a more stripped down version of the band, unless it was a festival kind of situation, But as I said, right now, we have to. We're prepping new videos and things like that for the next album, and so we're quite busy right now.
So the new tunes on this new album. Did you write the music?
Yes. Yeah. So I wrote most of the songs on the first album, Delta Tales, except for that. The Snake was our only real cover. And then my producer wrote one of the songs. And on the new album, it's mainly me, and then my producer and I have written a couple together also.
Okay, so when you get ready to launch the new album, tell Mike and we'll set you up to come on so we can make you famous on the new album.
Great, great. We're very excited about the new album. It's going to be called Signs and Wonders, and it's basically follows in the same tradition, but I think it's got some great songs, and I think people are going to really like it.
Okay. So basically, I got a weird question. How come Brazil?
I have no idea. For some reason, we've connected with the Brazilians, and I mean, we have this enormous, quite a large number of Facebook followers from Brazil, and they're very active in the group. So I'm not sure. You know, we do a lot of different promos, and sometimes you hit in some places. I think they probably have this appreciation of earlier, you know, of American music from kind of the early 70s.
Do you record your music in other languages or just in English?
No, just English, yeah. Yeah.
And the European countries?
I have enough time in English.
You know, that's great. You know, there are a lot of bands that didn't make it here and they made it abroad or in South America, and then they got huge and large and they came back here. And
yeah, well, that song that you played first, Free Will and China Blue, that's our current single, and now that is starting to get some decent, it did well in Europe. And now it's starting to get some pretty good airplay now here in the United States. So, you know, we'll just see. It's all by God's grace, right? So we'd like as many people to hear it as possible.
This radio show goes around the world. We have, and you know, on online stuff and Block Talk and all that stuff is international. So everything we just did was played all around the world for you, and we have a big following, and that's a good thing, especially in Europe, because Germany and Austria and Great Britain and Scotland, Ireland, all that, I have family there, and so they listen to that stuff, and of course our friends in Brazil and Peru and things of that nature.
Yeah.
So everything
I really
do,
appreciate the exposure.
And with this show, you got a really big exposure because you are preceded with Nick Searcy, a well-known actor,
I was listening to Nick. I was listening to Nick. Of course, I love Nick because of the show Justified, and that's where my mother's family was from, that area in eastern Kentucky, so it had a particular appeal to us.
Yeah, he was on Huckabee, and Huckabee and I are friends, and Nick, actually, a little story about Nick is that he campaigned with Herman Cain, the late Herman Cain, when he was running for president. And at that time, I was running for Congress down here in Florida, and we campaigned together, and I ran into Nick that one time when he was down here with a place called Wings Plus. So that's
cool.
The real connection. But the thing is, Nick, if you heard the show earlier, Nick and I both been Nick with his thing, he gets lambasted every day because of the it's about the J6 movie Capital Punishment. And today, when we were promoting the show, we were getting hit with some personal attacks on the left for doing that. That one person told me, "Go back to New York. I don't want you here." So you know, that's the type of thing.
So
that's
you're thinking, ever thinking of touring beyond Texas, you got to come to South Florida because we have
a lot of clubs here,
and the people would love your music. You know,
we'd love to go to
and riveting
South Florida.
And your harmony. And your voice and the lyrics, they're just wonderful. So you can pick up a nice
following
here.
I'm very familiar with South Florida. I run a music festival in Sarasota, and it actually is over Easter weekend. It's called the Rites of Spring Festival, where we bring in, I think, 12 different acts over a three-day weekend. So I'm very familiar with Florida.
Yeah, let,
okay,
let us know. Let us know,
yes,
and we'll promote when you
your,
do that, okay?
Your festival.
Fantastic.
And the acts, and maybe you can come on and our show, back on our show at that time, and we can work with you to promote your festival.
Oh, that would be absolutely fantastic. I would love
any,
that. If, I mean, you're very
any,
kind.
If, yeah, any information that you got that you need to get pumped, let us know. You got my email, so I'll do that.
All
can
right.
you... tell us, because we're coming towards the end of the show, can you tell our listening audience where to find you, the website, how to get
yep,
in contact,
sure.
any upcoming thing?
Yep. So the main point of contact for us is the website sunkingrising.com. It's very easy to find. In fact, if you anybody who just goes into any search engine and types Sun King Rising should be able to get to us very quickly. And on the website, it'll tell you where you can buy our CD, you can buy vinyl. All the major outlets should have some way to sell the CD. Also, all the streaming services have it, so Spotify and Amazon, et cetera, and Deezer and all of those. So it shouldn't be hard to find Sun King Rising, but all the latest news is on our sunkingrising.com website.
And you are going to stay on Spotify and not listen to all the garbage that's going on, right?
I will not be leaving Spotify. I don't believe I think artists should do what they do best and stay out of politics.
I agree with you. Same thing with actors and sport players and everything else, because, you know, it's just crazy. I want to hear them. I go to hear your music. I don't care to hear the politics. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. That's why, you know, hey, it's hard enough to get fans. I'm not going to immediately reduce it by 50% just by talking politics. But
why burn
there
your
go.
Audience it's, when they love your music?
Right.
Exactly. Right. Yeah.
That's why we don't understand why.
And sometimes, although, I mean, sometimes musicians are not necessarily, you know, all highly educated with regards to the situation. And that's the same thing for people in
but
the arts.
But they are talented,
you know.
And they write great
sure.
music, and they do have a following, and some have been there a long, long time. And I know I enjoy listening to music, and I don't want to hear all that other stuff. I just want to hear the tunes that you uplift and you make me happy, and I'm glad you do it.
And I'm telling
well,
you,
thank
your videos are fantastic, and continue doing that.
We're about to do another one for the next album. We'll have a new single coming out later in the year, and we'll have a video launch at the same time.
Let us know, and we'll promote it. I want to thank you for coming on the show, and come on again, okay?
I will. Thank you so much, Joe and Scarlett.
Lots of success with the
it was a real treat.
Lots of success,
thank
and
you.
We love your music.
You're welcome.
Well, I appreciate that a lot. You all take care.
Have a great,
have a nice
safety evening.
Bye-bye now.
Right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Now, we had two great guests today. Everything tied in together was perfect. And I did not know John Ralph's nickname was listening to the show, but that tells you something. Okay. It's John was listening to Nick because of Justified. Now, we got a guest Wednesday, and we're going back into the music, not to politics. And Scarlett is going to make the announcement this time.
We have Hedy Brunetti, and she's great. She's got some good music. She'll be on at 7 p.m. on February 2nd, and we're looking forward to her. Great music.
And that is something that's going to be a beautiful day, and we're going to continue with that.
Tons of tunes.
Yeah, and next Sunday we'll go back into movies, and we're going to be with Leon Lee. And his
just we're going to do something really, really special for Sunday, February 13th, the day before Valentine's Day. We'll give you more particulars on
as we go,
and I think our audience will love it.
All right. I want to say we got to say good night to everybody. We had a great show. Thank you, Scarlett.
Thank you, Joe.
I say thanks to Nick Searcy
and Joe Blangiero.
And we want to thank them all. They'll both come back at a later date. This thing's progressed. And God bless America.
And stay warm here in Florida because we missed the 93-degree weather.
I know. I like the 80s.
Everybody, take care. I'll be back on Wednesday, February 2nd.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Just my children and my wife. Thank my lucky stars to be living here today. 'Cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston, and New York to LA, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say that I'm proud to be an American, where at least today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless.